2 pitch. Swing and a miss. Knocked him out. The Philadelphia Phillies are 2008 World Champions of Baseball. It's Wednesday, December 17th, 2014. Welcome to the Philly Press Box Radio Roundtable, brought to you by ShopForKisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. I'm Bill Furman. I'll be your host tonight, along with my partner, Jim Chetchesko. And tonight, we'd like to welcome back our friend Steve Switkiewicz, Swit as he's commonly known. And Swit always brings a great insight to our show, and we're glad to have him again. Chet, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right, and yeah, he does bring some good insight. Bill, we'll be curious to see what Swit's take is on the Eagles' meltdown against the Cowboys and the Birds' playoff prospects. But, yeah, we certainly have a lot to talk about in tonight's show.
We do, and before we get the welcoming Swit to the show, let's go get our Eagles trivia question out there for the listeners to win the Mike Quick signed 8x10 photo, courtesy of Carl's Cards and Collectibles in Havertown, PA, to the first person that calls in and correctly answers the question. Our ShopForKisses.org phone lines will be open at 929-477-2855, so feel free to give us a call throughout the show. Chet, this is about as easy as it gets, my friend. I don't think I can make questions too much easier than this one. It's sitting on a tee.
Let me hear it.
All right. In the past 8 seasons, 3 players have worn number 29. Nate Allen, who currently wears it, has worn it for the last 5 seasons, 2010 through 2014. And running back Tony Hunt wore it for 2007 and 2008. But I wore it in 2009. Can you name me? Don't get any easier than that, brother. Doesn't get any easier than that.
Yes, it does. We've had easier ones. I'm not good with numbers. I'm not good with jersey numbers.
Well, this is an Eagles number game tonight. We got all kinds of stats we're going to throw around, and
all right,
we're going to get a lot of opinions on some Eagle things, and I think I've got some numbers here statistically that are going to surprise you.
Okay.
So we'll read that real quick one more time, and then we'll get Swit. We'll bring Swit in, and we'll get rolling. In the past 8 seasons, 3 players have worn number 29. Nate Allen, who presently wears it, for the last 5 years, 2010 through 2014. And running back Tony Hunt from 2007 and 2008. But I wore it in 2009. Can you name me? All right. Well, Swit, welcome back to the show. And before we get started, let me give the phone number again for the answer to the trivia question. Same as the call-in number. It's 929-477-2855. Swit, welcome back, my friend.
Oh, thanks, Bill. Chet, great to be on with you guys again. It's always a lot of fun.
All right. Well, let's get this thing kicked off. Let's talk Eagles, and I'm just going to toss it right out to you, Chet, first, and say, what went wrong in the 38-27 loss?
I'll tell you what went wrong. 4 turnovers and some shoddy play by the secondary. That's what went wrong. You're not going to win a whole lot of football games when you have 4 turnovers, and that's been something that's been troubling the Eagles all season. They're leading the league in turnovers with 34. They are a minus 9. You look at some of the other NFC teams, Green Bay is a plus 15. Arizona is a plus 12. Seattle and Detroit both plus 8. So when you're turning the ball over that often, it makes it tough to win. And they got to get better play out of the quarterback position also in Mark Sanchez. And we see also that the secondary is a major concern for the Eagles. Bradley Fletcher bringing back memories of Izell Toast Jenkins. So that's what went wrong in a nutshell as far as I see it.
Swit, what was your take?
I agree with Chet on a number of things. I mean, certainly the secondary has many, many holes. I think, too, going into it, though they were calling it tight on the corners, and when you have a big wide receiver like Dez Bryant, you know, out there who could basically manhandle anybody. You're going to call it close against Bradley Fletcher, whoever they had on him. It makes for a long night. And, you know, he obviously, Dez, by the numbers, had his way with Bradley Fletcher. I was a little surprised with some of the usage of Foles, only three carries for 5 yards. I believe he caught a couple of passes out of the backfield. So a little suspicious there why Kelly didn't give Sproles a little bit more action there. And looking at the stats, 16 carries for McCoy, I think you got to feed him the ball a little bit more too. So I kind of question the play calling there and the use of his backs. Jordan Matthews coming up, no catches. I believe this is the first time maybe all season, or certainly that I can remember, that he hasn't been on the board. And, you know, Cooper continues to struggle, and they really only have one receiver out there. I think the receivers have been a problem too, but I think they got off right behind the eight ball right off the opening kick when you get that goofy bounce and goes the Cowboys' way. And from there, I mean, it just kind of snowballed. You knew after that opening kickoff it was going to be a long evening.
Yeah, well, hold that thought on the defense and Fletcher. We'll come back to that in just a second because I want to hit you up on something. But I have a staggering, what I consider to be a staggering Eagles statistics to throw at you guys. And, Chet, you mentioned 34 turnovers, okay? Two of those ended halves and two of them ended games. So let's call it 30 turnovers just for conversation. Of those 30 turnovers, only six have ended up in punts from the other team. 18 touchdowns, 3 field goals, one missed field goal, and 1 blocked field goal. The opponents have had opportunities to score on 23 of 34 turnovers. To me, that's a mind-boggling statistic.
Yeah, and, you know, the defense has played pretty well for the Eagles this year, but they're giving up too many points in key situations. Look at the game on Sunday night. The Eagles battled back from that big deficit, 21-0. They took the lead 24-21. And instead of taking control of the game, the Cowboys marched down the field on the next drive, scored a go-ahead, never relinquished the lead. So as well as the defense has played in spots, and especially the front seven, they're still giving up a lot of points when you don't want to see them giving up points. And the last couple of games, they were on the field way too much. That's one of the reasons Shady had so few carries and Sproles only got out there for 3 carries. The offense just wasn't on the field all that much because they had too many 3-and-outs offensively, and the defense wasn't getting off the field, giving up too many third-down conversions over the last couple of games. So, yeah, when there's a turnover, as you were talking about, you want to see the defense step up and stop the other team, and it hasn't happened quite enough this season, so that is definitely a concern.
Well, that leads me right into my next point that I wanted to throw at you guys. The San Francisco 49er lost. The Eagles offense had the ball for 17 minutes, 43 seconds. In the Seattle game, they had it for 18:04. Followed that up in the Dallas game with 18:05. Now, I know there's a coach of that, the head coach of that club, that thinks time of possession is not important. Well, there's no, I don't care if you're the steel curtain. If you're on the field for 40-plus minutes a game, you're going to give up points, you're going to get tired, and your offense is not going to score enough. This isn't college football where you can score 55 points a game. I just don't see how they can survive in this mode. And my our friend Bob Vitrone Jr. put out a couple stats as a follow-up to this, because I talked with him about it, and said that these are 3 of the 6 lowest time of possession in Eagles history. Of course, they've lost all 6 of them. So I think Kelly's got to change his thinking.
I agree wholeheartedly. What do you think, Swit?
Yeah, I'm on board with you guys on that, too, and that was a point I was going to make. You know, everybody talks about this high-octane offense and the go-go-go business. You know, you go 3-and-out on several series, and you're going to be burning your defense out. I mean, it's fine if you have a long, sustained drive, I mean, in terms of plays. But, you know, you go 3-and-out, maybe, you know, 4 or 5 play drives. I mean, your defense back on the field, you're burning them out. I think Kelly definitely has to change his ways at the pro level if he wants to succeed ultimately in winning a Super Bowl. I don't think you could win with this high-octane, keep-your-foot-on-the-gas-pedal offense. You can't win the big one with this type of offense, I don't think.
Well, hey, you guys mentioned the defense, and I got some more numbers for you. And I found this interesting as well. Now, we realize that the second half of the season, the schedules got tougher, twice with Dallas and Green Bay and Seattle in the mix there. But I thought this was interesting. In the first eight games of the season, the Eagles' defense allowed 32 20-plus yard plays. That's 32 20-plus yard plays. In the second seven games, okay, they've allowed 37 20-plus yard games. That's games 9 through 15. So they're giving up bigger plays. Is it because the competition's better, the receivers are better, or is the game plan not so good? And you know, we all have our problems with how Fletcher did against Bryant, but quite frankly, I think they did him an injustice. They put him in a position where he could not be successful against Dez Bryant. You can't play the guy. Man, he's a great receiver. He's big. And you're trying to play bump and run at the line of scrimmage with them with no help over the top. I think the defensive coaches or Chip Kelly or whoever gets the responsibility just did a lousy job of helping the kid be successful.
Yeah, let's give Bill Davis some blame on this one. He is the defensive coordinator. As well as they played 2 weeks earlier, beating the Cowboys down in Jerry World on Thanksgiving, they really came up small this time around. You knew the Cowboys were going to change things up because they didn't have success 2 weeks earlier, you know, trying to run the ball. So you knew they were going to throw more often in this game. You knew Tony Romo was going to be healthier and probably a little more spry than he was on Thanksgiving. And yet they still just couldn't come up with a better game plan to prevent those receivers from, you know, getting so much out into the open and a lot of one-on-one situations and then not adapting during the game. So I'm going to blame Bill Davis and, you know, Chip Kelly to an extent on this for not making adjustments to what the Cowboys were doing. So, yeah, let's throw some blame their way for sure.
Yeah, I think Billy had a good point there. I mean, you got to have some safety help on Dez Bryant. Now, granted, you really only have one safety out there. Jenkins is playing a pretty good safety right now. But, you know, those other guys out there, Nate Allen and the others, they're not playing really well. I mean, so that's one thing they're going to really have to look for in the draft is to add some more safety help among other positions. But, you know, I agree. You got to get more help on Dez Bryant. And if you can't figure that out from a defensive coordinator coaching standpoint, then you're in a world of trouble. And I don't even know why how you could have a job if you can't figure something, a basic scheme like that.
Well, you know, I've always said that no matter what sport you're playing, is you can't let the other team's best player beat you. You know, if you have to go double coverage on Bryant and go man somewhere else and take your chances somewhere else, don't let the guy who's one of the best receivers in the league take you down. And that's exactly what they did.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I think, though, on the opposite, to give the Eagles a little credit, I mean, even though the running back, he had two scores, I mean, they kept him to, I believe it was 80-some yards and 30-some carries. So they kind of bottled him up, and they did the same good job in Dallas. But, you know, again, coming up small, as we all agree, against Dez Bryant.
Yeah, I think the defensive front played extremely well. You know, they as you mentioned, they kept the running game under control. Yeah, with Murray and you know, even when they did rush three, they sometimes got pretty decent coverage, but then he had all day to throw, and it doesn't matter who's back there. You know, if you have as much time as he had, you're going to find open receivers.
Yeah, one thing, if they want to improve cornerback play, they're going to have to get more of a push up front. I mean, a little bit more defensive push from the interior linemen and the linebackers, and you can make Bradley Fletcher and Kerry Williams look like stars out there. I mean, it all starts up front, and you could make those guys look awfully good if you get pressure on the quarterback.
Absolutely. Well, Chad, you mentioned about the quarterback situation, and I have two questions I'm going to throw out here at you. First, I want to run – I'm numbered up today, okay? I want to run some numbers by it, and then that will lead you to my question, okay? Nick Foles has, while he was the quarterback, had the Eagles for 93 drives, okay? Mark Sanchez has had 83 drives, okay? Foles has had 18 turnovers, while Sanchez has had 14 turnovers, okay? The others were special teams. That's why it doesn't equal 34. Mm-hmm. Nick Foles has been responsible for 17 touchdowns and 14 field goals, or 31 scores, okay? Mark Sanchez for 20 touchdowns and 15 field goals, or 35 scores.
Hmm.
And while Foles was the quarterback, the Eagles punted 38 times, and under Sanchez, they punted 28 times. I thought those were very interesting numbers as we're attempting to run Mark Sanchez out of town, and we've also determined Nick Foles, who we were putting in the category with Brady, Manning, Rodgers, and others, is no longer capable of quarterbacking this team either, which leads me to my question about all the noise of Heisman Trophy winner Marcus Mariota. And what's your take? Would you mortgage the franchise to get rid of these other two guys and draft Marcus Mariota if it was going to cost you maybe Fletcher Cox and a couple number one picks?
All right. Well, first of all, that's pretty impressive, those numbers that you threw out there. I never would have guessed that Sanchez would have had such a significantly higher percentage basis in terms of scoring drives. 20 touchdowns and 15 field goals on his 83 drives, that's definitely better than what Foles did, 17 and 14 in 93 drives. So kudos to you for coming up with that one, Bill. But the key thing is Sanchez just has not gotten it done the last couple of games in the big games against Seattle and Dallas. I know you've called me a Foles guy. I'm still more of a Foles guy for sure long-term compared to Sanchez. Now, back to your question. Yeah, I think I would do that. I know there's been a lot of talk on the radio this week. Should the Eagles, you know, try to trade up to get Mariota, who would probably be, you know, the first pick? I'd be okay with it, to be honest, and that's probably what it would take, a Fletcher Cox and maybe a couple of number ones, you know, the Eagles' first-round pick this year and maybe one next year. I would probably do that just because you're getting a quarterback who I think certainly fits what Chip Kelly is looking for, and he's a guy that already knows the system because it's essentially the same offense that Oregon's been running out there the last couple of years that Chip ran out there and is running with the Eagles. So he'd be able to step right in. And, yeah, he's going against pro guys instead of college guys, but it will be a much shorter learning curve for Marcus or for Mariota. So, yeah, I think I would do that. Yeah, I'm not trying to get rid of Foles or send him packing, get him out of town, but, boy, that would certainly get the Eagle fan base excited if they were able to make a trade like that between now and April.
Well, that's interesting. Sweet, what do you think? But first, I just want to say, Chet, I thought that fan base was just as excited going into this season with Nick Foles. But we'll come back to that. Sweet, what's your thought?
Well, on Mariota, I think, yeah, if you can get him, it's a no-brainer. I look at it what the Redskins had to give up for RG3. They had to give up to move up, I think it was, what, three spots. They gave up three number one picks plus some players. You know, if you're going to have to give up that much, I don't know if it's going to only take Fletcher Cox and two picks. Plus, you got to remember something, guys, and you guys do know this. Those number one picks are going to be low in the pecking order. You're not going to have a mid to upper tier type pick this year or next year. So if anybody that wants to trade an upper echelon pick like that to the Eagles, you need, I would think, a minimum of three number one picks. Maybe a second and a future third plus a player or two. I mean, that's just me. I mean, if I'm trading that pick, I'm asking for a king's ransom, and I don't think there's any reason they should get it. But, you know, if you can get it for a couple picks and Fletcher Cox, yeah, that's a no-brainer, but I think it's going to take a lot more than that.
And keep in mind, there are a lot of teams out there that are in need of a quarterback, so there's going to be a lot of competition and a lot of teams willing to make a deal.
Yeah, good point, Chet. I don't think, and there's a lot of discussion, I'm a big listener of sports talk radio like we all are. And, you know, the word was that the Raiders are probably going to be sitting number one, and if they are, they already have Derek Carr there, and they're probably not going to want a quarterback. But right along the top of some of the worst teams in the league is Tampa Bay. They're going to definitely be looking for a quarterback, so they probably definitely go after Mariota. Now, if you want to make it worth their while, you're going to have to pony up. Like I said, I would think a minimum of four draft picks and a player or two.
Well, it's funny that you guys say that, because I'll take the other position. I would absolutely not do this. No way,
wow.
No way.
And you are wrong.
I've been told that before, but
no,
I guess
kidding.
my point is this. There are a lot of holes on this football team, and the quarterback is not the deepest hole that there is. And I would, right now, if you put everybody in the draft out there and said, who would you pick, I would take Amari Cooper, the wide receiver out of Alabama. He to me, is a difference maker, game breaker, that sets up the whole entire offense to throw the ball down the field and make things happen. Now, you can get him. You could still come back in this, if you could get him. You're not going to get him at 25 or wherever they're going to pick either, but hypothetically, if you could pick anybody. But I'm thinking they have to get a deep threat wide receiver. They have to get major help in the defensive backfield. They need a middle linebacker. If Brandon Graham can do the job now that he seems to be getting a lot better, maybe that outside linebacker spot's not so critical. They've got to get some offensive linemen in the draft. If you give away all these high draft picks to get a quarterback, I don't see you getting yourself that much better that quick.
Well, yeah, they do have a lot of holes, and definitely they could use another talented wide receiver, and certainly they need some help in the secondary. We all know that. But I don't know. If I could get Mariota for what we were talking about, I would do it and then look to fill the other needs through free agency. That's just me.
Yeah, one thing too, Bill, you had mentioned Cooper, the wide receiver. You know, I looked at some mock drafts already. I think Adam Schefter had one out today. They got him projecting to go to, I think, the Jets at number six if things played out like today. You know, obviously it's real premature now, but you're going to have to move up almost as high in the draft to get Mariota as you will to get the big wide receiver. But one thing is, and this is one thing we haven't touched on, is yeah, you can build through the draft. Let's look at it here. They're 20 some million dollars under the salary cap. So if they wanted to in any given year, you can go out and buy up some much needed pieces on this roster, whether it's offense or defense, and get a couple pieces in the draft. So they can do it. It's just a matter of they want to spend the money.
Well, absolutely. And you know, you have to be able to find the right fit. You know, we thought we found the right fit a few years ago with Osamuwa. That turned out to be a disaster and paid him a ton of money. And, you know, you can't just pick a guy off the tree. You got to have the right guy that fits into what you're trying to get done.
And I don't think they have the right guy picking the players. Chip Kelly was up on the soapbox, it was about a couple months now already, saying this is his roster. He puts the roster together, and from what I understand, you know, it's kind of died down. There was a story out there several weeks ago about him and Howie Roseman not necessarily being on the same page, and a little bit of a power struggle, rumors of a power struggle. I mean, that's kind of interesting to see how that's going to play out. If it comes down to Chip wants Mariota and Howie wants somebody else.
Well, you're exactly right, and as Kelly has said exactly what you did, that this roster is his. Well, with that comes the fact you got a whole bunch of guys out there in that defensive backfield that you brought in this past season, and they can't play, or they're limited, or you haven't schemed right, you haven't helped them out. I mean, you've let them, they've made you look bad, put it that way. So, yeah, that falls on Kelly. If he wants the credit, you know, he's all bravado that this is his roster. Well, by God, you get the blame that goes with that.
Yeah, you know what?
Well,
Go
ahead.
No, I was real quick, I was going to point the finger at Jeffrey Lurie a little bit. in order to get Chip Kelly, you had to give him full control. And I don't think, obviously, coming from college, he has no track record for, you know, being a player personnel guy at the NFL level. And I think they gave him much, much power before he was proven at the NFL level. But they had to do what they had to do to get him. And I think that's going to be one of the flaws you see in Chip Kelly's player personnel.
I 1,000% agree with you. And I think we saw some of that with Marcus Smith. And the entire 2014 draft is suspect, short of Jordan Matthews anyway. So
who's Lane Johnson? I don't see him winning a Pro Bowl anytime soon.
Yeah, well, you know, he's young, and he seems to be doing a pretty solid job, and he seems to be getting better. So we'll give him some time. At least he's out there playing every day, as is Matthews. So I'm okay with those guys, but the rest, not so much. Well, hey, Chet, I believe we still have a few other things to talk about the playoffs and such, but I believe you have a little rapid-fire hot seat set up for our man Swit tonight. Is that right?
Yes, would you all rested up, ready to go?
I'm ready for it.
Now, let's do it. This is a good time to do it. A little break from all the Eagles talk. We're going to talk, of course, some Eagles in here as well, but various questions, so let's do it. All right, Swit, you've been in the rapid-fire hot seat once previously, back in late August. You did well with it, so we'll see how it goes the second time around. You know the drill. Brief answers to a dozen or so very important questions. Here we go. Dallas Cowboys, 3-4 at home. Indianapolis Colts, 4-2 on the road. Who wins that crucial game Sunday down at Jerry World?
I think the Colts wind up winning it. I think they got a big win on the road. I think they come down to earth a little bit, and I think Andrew Luck's going to carve up that secondary. Colts win it.
I hope you're right. So that being said, will the Eagles make the playoffs?
Yes, I think they find a way to get in. I think the best option, you know, best way for them to get in is by winning the division. I think they find a way to win it. Obviously, they're going to have to win their last two, and you get one Cowboy loss, and then they're in.
I think we can all agree on this one, but let me ask to make sure, what is the top off-season priority for the Eagles in terms of position?
Wow. Obviously, quarterback, if you could get the right guy, though.
Quarterback, you said?
Quarterback, if you can get the right guy. But I wouldn't go for a reach, but if you can get a top-flight quarterback like Mariota, you got him. But there are only really two quarterbacks in the draft, and if they both come out, that's Mariota and Jameis Winston.
I thought you were going to say cornerback, the defensive secondary, but that's okay. All right, now Chip Kelly's five-year contract has him coaching the Eagles through 2017. Will he still be here in 2018?
He will if he gets to handpick his own quarterback. If he doesn't, he will not be here.
We talked right before the season started about the Flyers' outlook. I believe we all thought they would be a 6th or 7th or 8th seed playoff team. Now, based on the first 10 weeks of the season, has that view changed?
No, not on my end, it doesn't. I think they're still in that 6-8 slot range. They, you know, up until last night, they took a loss to Tampa Bay, but the previous five, they wound up getting points in five straight. You know, I think they'll be there at the end. They're only 7 points out of a playoff spot. I mean, we're still obviously only in December, but they'll be there at the end. I would say more like a 7 seed.
All right, still some work to be done. As of today, 30 games into the season, Wayne Simmons has 14 goals. Jake Voracek has 11. Braden Schenn has 9. Claude Giroux, 8. Who will lead the team in goals for the season?
I think the captain. I think Giroux winds up winning the goal award, if you will, for the Flyers this year. I think he has a way of stepping up in the second half of the year, and I think he takes it.
You are a hockey guy, so who or what's been the biggest disappointment with the Flyers this season?
No, this is an easy one. You got to look at the secondary scoring. I mean, that first line's been good all year, but you got to look to guys like Matt Reed and Umberger has given you nothing, and you have Belmar. I mean, they've given you absolutely nothing. I mean, Schenn, Braden has had a decent year, but hasn't shown me enough. And you got $4.5 million in Vincent LeCavalier sitting in the press box, getting absolutely nothing out of. So it definitely has to be the secondary scoring.
Speaking of disappointments, the Sixers are currently 2-22. How many wins will they end up with this season?
Before the season, I said 15 wins. I'm going to stick with that. I think across the NBA, you have your dog teams, and I think Sixers have played some pretty tough games. They lost a couple tough ones. They could easily have 4 or 5 wins at this point. So I think they wound up with 15 wins.
He had a career high last night. Your impressions so far of Nerlens Noel?
Can shoot. Decent on a defensive end, but he needs a lot of help with the shot. Not the greatest rebounder. So right now, I'm kind of on the fence. I'm going to, you know, wait until the end of the season to evaluate him, but at this point in time, he shown a flurry, some talent here and there, but I'm going to wait till the end of the season to really evaluate him.
All right. On a percentage basis, what's the likelihood the Phillies ace Cole Hamels gets traded this winter?
And that's another good one. I think Ruben dropped the ball and not getting rid of him at the winter meetings. And, you know, if he doesn't come off his high horse and stop demanding, you know, a king's ransom for him or pick up some of the salary, I think there is a 30% chance he gets traded before the season opener.
I would go higher. On a percentage basis, what's the likelihood Ryan Howard plays elsewhere in 2015?
If anybody was willing to pick up that money, I think at this point in time, I'm going to call it right down the middle, 50-50.
All right. Back to football. What two teams will meet in Arizona in Super Bowl 49 on February 1st, and who wins?
In the NFC, I'm going to stick with the champions. I think Seattle's coming on right now. I'll take their defense over anybody's offense. I think they represent the NFC. And in the AFC, I'm going to go with the Patriots. I think Tom Brady gets them back there. I think he wins a head-to-head matchup if it comes down to it with Peyton Manning. And when it's all said and done, I think you got a repeat Super Bowl champion in the Seahawks.
I'm going to say Green Bay and New England, and Green Bay wins. We'll see. Now, Swit, when you visited the hot seat back in late August, you told us your desert island sports movie would be Slapshot, a fine choice. Now, what's your favorite football movie?
Two come to mind. I'm going to go with the most recent one, but it was close. I'm going to go Jerry Maguire. I've always been intrigued by the sports agency business, and, you know, Jerry Maguire was a classic movie. But there was another one years ago, if I can mention it quickly, and that was a made-for-TV movie back in 1980 called Fighting Back, the Rocky Blyer story based on his life and, you know, in Vietnam. And that was always one that kind of touched close to me. And, you know, but I'd go with Jerry Maguire first.
I know you like those military guys. And finally, Swit, speaking of movies, since it is December, what's your favorite Christmas or holiday movie?
I don't know if you want to consider this a movie. It's always on TV, but even though I'm not a Scrooge, I always liked Dr. Seuss's The Grinch That Stole Christmas. I just always found The Grinch entertaining and for a couple of laughs, and, you know, I'm going to go with The Grinch.
Okay, we'll take that. Steve Switkiewicz, you've done it. You've survived your return visit to Rapid Fire Hot Seat.
All right.
All right. Well, while you guys catch your breath, let's thank our sponsor, shopforkisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. By logging on to shopforkisses.org's website, you become connected to over 3,000 stores, including all the big ones you already shop at. Every purchase made gets you cash back, and each purchase benefits the Kisses for Kyle Foundation, which helps families dealing with childhood cancer throughout the Delaware Valley. If you have any questions, contact Bob Sullivan at bobsullivan.shopcom@gmail.com or give him a call at 484-319-8043. All right, well, let's give our trivia question again. We have no callers yet to win this little drop kick I put out here for everybody. This is to win the Mike Quick signed 8x10 photo courtesy of Carl's Cards and Collectibles to the first person that can call in and correctly answer the question. So here it goes again. In the past 8 seasons, 3 players have worn number 29. Nate Allen for the last 5 years from 2010 through 2014, and running back Tony Hunt from 2007 and 2008. But I wore it in 2009. Can you name me? All right. Well, let's see if we get any callers on that. In the meantime, let's jump back to the Eagles just a little bit. I wanted to ask you guys or talk a little bit about this playoff situation. I mean, the Eagles do have a chance. Obviously, they have to take care of their business, and the best thing to do would be to win both games, obviously, or else all kinds of things have to happen. But, I mean, their best chance is that the Cowboys lose to the Colts and or the Redskins. If both end up 11-5, then the Eagles would win the tiebreaker and get in that way. What do you guys think? I mean, there's a lot of things that have to happen if you start getting into the Lions and the Packers and the Seahawks and all those guys for the wild card. Those chances are very slim of getting in the wild card. They need Dallas to lose.
Yeah, that's the best way to get in, by winning the division. They could still make it as a wild card if the Eagles won their final two games. And the other three potential teams in the mix, the Lions, Packers, and Seattle, if one of those each, you know, lost each of their final two games. But that's unlikely to happen, especially with Green Bay and Seattle. Detroit, you never know. That could happen. They do play Green Bay the final week. They also have a road game against Chicago. Chicago's not very good, but Detroit hasn't exactly been lighting it up lately either. But, yeah, I still think the best shot is to win the division, and to do that, you got to hope that the Cowboys lose one of their final two, probably to the Colts this Sunday. That's what we're going to pull for anyway. So the question I think you're getting to, Bill, is what if the Eagles finish 11-5 and don't make the playoffs? You know, a lot of people are saying, if that happens, is this season still a success if the Birds do finish 11-5 but don't get to play beyond December 30th? As far as I say, see it, I'm going to say no, especially because of, you know, Nick Foles taking a step back when he was in there and healthy, the team's failure to win big games. Remember, they're, what, 2-5 against teams that are 500 or better? I mean, yeah, they beat the Colts and the Cowboys the first time around, but in their five other games against quality teams, Arizona, Green Bay, San Fran, Seattle, and then Dallas this past Sunday, they came up short. So, you know, even if they finish 11-5, if they're not in the playoffs, I'm not going to consider this season a success. I know a lot of us predicted they would win 10 or 11 games, but we also thought that they would win the division with 10 or 11 wins because we thought the rest of the division was going to be pretty poor. So Dallas is a lot better than we all thought, and the Eagles may end up on the outside looking in. And if that's the case, I'm going to say it would not be a successful season if the Birds are not playing in the postseason.
Swift, what you thinking?
Yeah, I'm with Chet. I mean, you got to make the playoffs. I mean, whether you win 11 games or 10 games, you got to get to the playoffs. I mean, you know, if they do finish 11-5 and go back, and I'm sure everybody's going to go back and dissect every single one of the losses, and by right they should. I mean, you got to win those big division games, divisional games in the NFC. And, you know, they've been doing well in the East, but across the NFC as a whole, not so good. And you got to win those big games, and, you know, if they win 11 and fall out of the playoff spot, not a successful season, not one bit.
How about you, Bill?
Well, I'm going to agree with you, and it's not because of the wins and losses. They lost the games we thought they would lose before the season. We also thought they would lose to the Colts. So they're pretty much right where we thought they would be. The problem I have with them is I think their offense has digressed. They've gone the wrong direction. I don't think they're anything special at all. I think there's still a whole lot of hype to that offense that I'm not real happy with. And defensively, they're better up front than I thought they would be with that front three. But the defensive backfield is still in shambles, as we talked about. So I'm not as – looking a little deeper into it past the one-loss record, I'm not happy with the way the whole thing has worked out. And because they've been fortunate. They've won some games with special teams and some other things early in the year. There were a lot of games they could have very well lost. So I'm it's not a success for me either.
Hey,
we have a caller for our trivia question, I think. So let's jump on and see if we can take care of this right quick, and we'll get back to a few more Eagles questions. Hey, welcome to the show. This is Bill.
Hey, Bill. It's Frank.
Hey, Frank, my man. You think
Frank.
You got the answer, do you, brother?
I think so. I mean, if I remember correctly, wasn't that the number that Shady wore his rookie year?
That is the correct answer. LeSean McCoy wore number 29 for 1 year before turning that over when Tony Hunt left. Or he was 29, and then he picked up 25 after that one season. You're
right,
Frank.
I actually have a copy of that jersey, actually, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. I know there's it's interesting. I know in the memorabilia world there's a handful or probably a bunch, but of number 29 signed photos out there of McCoy. And they actually bring a couple extra dollars because they're his rookie photos.
Right.
So, Frank, we appreciate
hey,
it.
If I may, may I speak on some of the points that you just touched on?
Go for
sure,
it,
let's hit them quick.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of in the boat you are, Bill, too. And I think what a lot of people are starting to neglect here in seeing with this defense is, let's face facts about, the coordinator, Bill Davis. I mean, look at where he was fired from his last two jobs. They were kind of on the fence and bringing him in here anyway. And, what you're seeing right now with we talked about it on the show when I was on a couple times about how he wasn't making adjustments on the fly. And, there was one game where he was doing this, that, and the other thing. But you know what? He seems to be a liability here, too, with this.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But anyway,
right.
Thank you guys. Thank you guys for taking my call. I look forward to hearing the rest of the show. Thanks.
All right, Frank. We'll get this. We'll get this out to you.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Frank.
Hey, Bill,
if I could chime in
real quick, one game of interest that Eagles fans will be watching closely on over the weekend, the Detroit game. They will be facing a different quarterback than Jay Cutler. He has been benched in favor of Jimmy Clausen.
Huh. How about that?
That's not good for Bears fans. not at all.
But we're going to root for the Bears anyway.
Yes, we are. Well, hey, Chad, I have one last thing I wanted to bring up to you. Being a New Jersey resident, it would be remiss to not ask you about your governor. What about the action? Well, Swit and I don't live over there in the Garden State, so what about your governor, Mr. Chris Christie, and his what I call antics at Lincoln Financial Field on Sunday night?
I'm probably going to be in the minority on this one, but I don't really care. I mean, I know he's taken a lot of flack because he's up there in the Jerry Jones box, and he's obviously rooting for the Cowboys. That's been the team that he's, claims he's rooted for, I guess, pretty much his whole life. And, so what? I don't care. Is he doing it just to try to get votes out of Texas, more electoral votes, if and when he runs for president? I don't think so. And even if he is, I don't care. I mean, sure, he's probably ticking off a lot of fans in the Garden State who, are rooting for the Giants or Jets or in the southern part of the state, the Eagles. But I think it's much ado about nothing, and it's just giving, the talk shows something else to talk about, and the people who don't like Christie giving them something more to criticize him for. To me, I think it's, so what? There you go.
Interesting, because I'll tell you my take on it. I have no problem with the guy being a Cowboys fan. Heck, we've had guys on this show that are Steelers fans, for God's sake, and even Ravens fans. But I don't have a problem with that. But I think the stay at home with your family and your friends, watch it, wear your Cowboys shirt. I don't care what you do. But I think on national TV in your home ballpark rooting against your home team, high-fiving with the owner, just didn't sit well with me.
I could understand how it would tick a lot of people off, but I don't know. I think there are more important things to focus on, like, what are the Eagles going to do about their secondary and what's the quarterback situation? I'm not going to let the whole Chris Christie thing bother me at all.
I hear you. Well, hey, let's move on. I wanted to ask you, it's nearly Christmas, right? We're a week and a half away. Pitchers and catchers report to Clearwater February the 18th. And quite honestly, the Phillies have done absolutely nothing to get better in 2015. As a matter of fact, I think they've gotten worse. You mentioned in the rapid fire about a blockbuster trade in the next couple months. Do you see that happening, Chet? I mean, I just don't know. This team, I saw a quick blurb today where Vegas is starting out saying that this is the worst team in baseball.
Yeah, they're World Series odds are something like 150-1, which puts them, right at the bottom of the list. To me, the trade of Jimmy Rollins to the Dodgers last week, which broke right before we did our show last week, was a signal to me that they are ready to go into complete rebuild mode. And, yeah, I do expect more deals in the weeks or months ahead, maybe even a blockbuster one involving Mr. Hamels. We talked about this before, but now I feel more strongly that they will trade Hamels because there are a lot of teams still out there looking for a staff ace. The Red Sox and Cubs come to mind, even though the Cubbies already snagged that John Lester. But I think some team will step up to the plate and give the Phils the two or three top prospects that they're said to be seeking to give up their number one pitcher. So I think it's going to happen with Hamels. Switz said 30%. I'm going to say it's more like 70% that it happens. I also think that Rubin and company will do everything in their power to convince someone to take Ryan Howard off their hands. And there's talk that Marlon Byrd is generating some decent interest as well. So I think it's going to be a vastly different team out there in 2015 and probably not a very good team. More trades will be made, in my opinion, and the end result will almost certainly mean that the Phillies could be looking at a 100-loss season in 2015. Sorry, guys.
Well, I am still going to hold the fort and hope that Cole Hamels is a Philly in 2015 because if for no other reason, like back in the early 70s when Lefty came to town, there would be a reason to go to the game every fifth day.
Because otherwise it's going to be a long year. No reason to go if he's gone.
That's right. And
what do you think, Switz?
I just hope not.
Yeah, well, there was actually, when they made the Rollins trade, that night they had Jason Stark on one of the local radio stations, and he said the Dodgers and the Phillies were working on a mega trade where the Phillies would have sent Rollins, Hamels, and Ruiz to the Dodgers. But they could not get together, obviously, on it and fell apart. I don't know how close it was in the first place. But you're talking about a blockbuster. I can't see a blockbuster unless, obviously, it involves Hamels. You could probably trade Marlon Byrd and get pennies on a dollar for him. You know, you're not going to get much back from Marlon Byrd. But the reason my percentage, again, on the likelihood of trading Hamels is because unless they have a change within the organization and lower the bar a little bit. They want two major league prospects that are ready right now and one that's close, and they want the team they're trading with to take the entire $96 million in 4 years that's left on that contract. You still got a couple decent pitchers out there yet. Max Scherzer, not a lot of teams have cooled on him because he's his agent for one is Scott Boras, and they're asking for a $200 million contract. And James Shields, obviously not on the same level as Hamels, but James Shields is a decent pitcher. He's out there. So I don't know how many teams are going to be willing, A, to pick up the money, and B, to give you what the Phillies want. Now, you know, I hope they do get rid of him so you can get a couple building blocks, but at this point in time, unless they have a change of philosophy, I'm not seeing it on Hamels.
All right. Well, hey, I wanted to ask you guys, I want to switch gears again and jump over to the Flyers real quick. I wanted to ask you, Peter Forsberg being honored last night kind of surprises me. I mean, we've had a lot of guys that played a lot of years in Philadelphia and been pretty darn good. What gets Peter Forsberg honored in Philly?
Switz,
you're a Flyers guy.
Yeah,
let's start with you on this.
Yeah, wow. I'll do my best. I mean, I was a little stunned myself. I mean, I didn't realize he only played 100 games in the Flyers uniform. And to be honoring a guy like that, you know, I think maybe put some butts in the seats for one night. I know they don't sell out that place on a regular basis down there, but you know they're big on honoring their own. And but you know, if I'm going to honor a player, I mean, first person that comes to mind would not be Peter Forsberg. I mean, that was a little bit of a surprise when I saw that. I mean, I think maybe he was in town, maybe he thought it would be good, you know, good promotional thing, and I'm just, you know, taking a shot in the dark. I think it was for promotional reasons.
Chet, any thoughts on that?
I was wondering why he was in town. I didn't know he was getting any kind of award or anything. I was going, Peter Forsberg back in town? I had heard something about that yesterday. So, yeah, go figure. The guy wasn't here that long. He had trouble staying healthy while he was here. It was near the end of his career, obviously. So it's a mystery to me. I don't know, guys.
Yeah, I was watching the game, you know, and I see this going on, and I actually had to go on the computer and, like, did they put him into the Hall of Fame, you know, because they did the thing with Lindros and LeClaire a couple weeks ago, and I know they're going to do it again later in the year with Eric Desjardins. And I'm like, well, I hadn't heard anything about Forsberg, so I'm looking to see what it is, and I guess they just kind of, like, honored him. I don't know. I didn't get it. Well, I wanted to ask you guys, you know, the Flyers won a couple games over the week. They look like they might be turning the corner. They turned around last night and, again, only scored one goal against a pretty good Tampa Bay team. But goals seem to be down. Goals seem to be down throughout the league. And is it just my imagination or is it not just the Flyers, just goals altogether are down?
Switch.
Yeah, Bill, we talked about this before the show, and I don't really have any numbers in front of me to say one way or another if goals are down. But one thing I can tell you is, using Tampa Bay as an example last night, is when a team takes the lead in the third period, whether it's one, even if it's only one goal, they sit back and they protect that lead like a mother hen. I mean, last night they said, I believe the numbers were, the Lightning were 19-0-2, going into the third period when they had a one-goal lead. So I think it's more so that teams aren't really going for more scoring late in the game if they're holding on to the lead and are a good defensive club. But, again, I'm not so sure if goals are down, but it certainly does seem like that.
Well, Chet, hey, we have to touch one more thing real quick. What about your Philadelphia 76ers? Their two-win hot streak is over. When are they going to win again? Are they going to win again?
Boy, I don't know when they're going to win again. They had the big chance on Saturday, blowing an 18-point lead over the last, 7 minutes or whatever. Boy, that was a real disappointment, losing a game in overtime after being up so big in the final quarter at home. That's really demoralizing. And they got, kind of blown out on Monday. But there actually have been a few bright spots. We talked last week about 6'9" Robert Covington, who's already had a number of impressive games. MCW's been pretty solid here in his second season since coming back from that shoulder problem. Nerlens Noel, as we discussed in Rapid Fire, has been up and down in his rookie season, but he actually had a pretty solid game in the loss to the Celts on Monday night, a career-high 19 points to go with 8 rebounds. And one other thing, K.J. McDaniels can throw down some impressive dunks, so he's fun to watch. But, yeah, it's going to be a long season, and that 9-win futility mark is – it may come down to the wire. It's going to be close.
Well, I think the 15.5 is certainly safe, but the 9
yeah.
– I think 9 might be safe, but 15.5 is certainly safe.
Yep.
And I said before the season started, I would have, if I was a betting man, which I'm really not, I would have taken the over. And right now, I wouldn't be looking too well on that.
No, I would say not.
Bill, looking at the schedule, I think they win tomorrow. I think they win Friday night. They have the Charlotte Bobcats coming into town, or the Hornets, as they're called now. So after that, they better win that one, because then they go on a 7 or 8 game road trip, and then they come home to face the Cleveland Cavaliers. So they better get one before they leave, because it's going to be a while.
No, I'm with you, and I don't know that that's happening. All right.
Very simply, we're from Philadelphia, and we fight. That's it. If there's a game on, we're playing. End of story.
Ah, prediction time. Eagles-Redskins in Washington on Saturday afternoon evening matchup for, I guess this is a special edition of Thursday Night Football. Chet, you're up. And you know what? I got to tell you, this game, for my own self, since I'm gonna pick last, I don't even have a score written down. Usually I have a score written down, and quite honestly, I'm not sure where this thing's going. Chet, lead us off.
All right. Well, I was wrong in predicting a 10-point Eagles win over the Cowboys last week. Shame on me. But this week, the Birds will rebound over a dysfunctional, out-of-it Redskins team, and they'll coast to a 34-17 win. Robert W. Griffin, not yet back. The coach, not convincing me that he's a pro coach. The team under that owner, Dan Snyder, is always going to be a bit of a mess. The coach doesn't seem to be in love with DeSean Jackson, who the Eagles get to see again. I think the Eagles win this one fairly easily, 34-17.
All right, Swit, go ahead.
I
might have to be the bubble breaker.
I'm kind of in the same neighborhood as Chet. I think, you know, the Redskins obviously aren't playing for anything. You know, maybe RG3 comes out and, you know, plays a little bit, but at the end of the day, it's going to be a lopsided game. I'm going 42-17 Eagles.
42-17. Boy, you guys are scoring points. All right. Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I am going to go 38-7 Eagles.
I like it.
38-7 Eagles. And you know what? With these three blowouts that we picked, the Eagles are probably in big trouble.
Yeah, really.
Wow.
You got that right.
I guess I'm with you guys. I just don't know that the Redskins are in shambles, and I don't see Griffin doing anything special that is going to set the house on fire.
Yep.
All right. Well, hey, I got a call from our buddy Carl over at Carl's Cards guys and over in Havertown, and he wanted to thank the listeners and Flyers fans that showed up for the John LeClair signing that he had in the store last weekend, December 13th. He said it was an absolute great turnout and a great opportunity to meet the Flyers legend. He said it was a really good day, and John was great with the fans as well. So he wanted to thank everybody for coming in and being part of that. And with that said, this Sunday, December the 21st, with the Eagles playing on Saturday, Carl will have, just in time for Christmas, the special teams party. John Dorenbaus, Cody Parkey, and Donnie Jones will all be at Carl's store. And there might even be a visit from Santa Claus as well. So Carl does a great job getting guests in. We hope you can support his efforts. They have a great have a Facebook page, a website. So please check with them and on their signings, costs, and details. And, Chet, I think you and I might actually be meeting there as well on Sunday.
Bill, there's some talk of a little bit of snow this weekend, but unless we get a significant snowstorm, I will be there on Sunday. I want to see those special teamers from the Eagles, and I hope that I see you there too.
All right. We'll be looking forward to it. All right. Well, we want to thank thank Carl's Cards for their continuing support of the show. Our special guest, Steve Swickowitz, always does a great job. Enjoyed having him as well. As Mary Flanagan, our marketing extraordinaire behind the scenes, and our sponsor, shopforkisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. For Jim Chatchesco, this is Bill Furman. Hoping you enjoy the show, and we'll join Philly Press Box Radio next Tuesday night. We will be Tuesday night next week rather than Wednesday night, Chet, December the 23rd. So you and I and our guests can take Christmas Eve off as well, and we'll be talking all things Philly sports. You can listen to our Facebook page at Philly Press Box Radio or on the Internet at www.blogtalkradio.com/Philly Press Box Radio. Philadelphia sports fans.